This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by EMP. 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP, 180weightloss.com. Joining us right now to talk some national spring training, Nationals reporter from Masson. He joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's our pal Dan Kolko. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Hello, Dan.
Doing great.
Dan, you're enjoying the sun and fun down there in South Florida. We'll be down there in about three weeks or so.
For a couple days.
Doing some shows, so it must be nice. Are you a golfer?
I am a golfer. I'm actually not in Florida right now. I'm back up in D.C. We fly back down on Monday for our next broadcast. But
do you find time to play when you're down there?
I'll sneak in, you know, a round or two. Yeah.
Good for you.
See, if you were there every day, I was going to challenge you to ask Bryce Harper about free agency every day.
No, he's not going to do that. He's gotten the message from Bryce, I would assume.
Well, I think everyone who is a reporter who covers the Nationals has gotten the message. I understand where Bryce is coming from on that. It's something that he doesn't want. He knows it's going to remain a topic of conversation in the baseball community, but he doesn't want it to be a distraction, or at least as minimal a distraction as possible throughout the entire season,
right.
Both for himself and for the team. He wants it to be about the 2018 season. He wants it to be about the Nationals and their quest to win a World Series. And, he feels like getting asked about it on a daily basis is not something that's healthy for himself or for the team. And so I kind of understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I don't know how it's going to work when you got, opposing media coming in every couple weeks. But, maybe it'll work. Who knows? I hope it does. So many different storylines, Dan. Let's start out with the manager, though. What's the biggest difference that you've noticed so far, or when you were there, or you're guessing, with Dave and Dusty, and how sort of the players are responding to him?
Well, what's interesting is, I've covered the team for a handful of years now and been through a handful of managers in that time. And when a new manager is starting in spring training, you never hear players or coaches or people around the organization be like, oh, man, spring training is brutal this year. This guy is terrible. Mm-hmm. I don't know what decision the ownership made or Mike Rizzo made. This was a brutal decision. But that said, everyone seems to really enjoy the vibe down there this year. Davey Martinez is obviously focused on his players getting their work in and making sure that they're as prepared for the start of the season as possible, but he's not going through things the way that you might see in a standard spring training, in that a lot of the eyewash drills where guys, before games started, would need to get there at a certain time and stand around for 5 hours and do, a rundown drill or, this type of drill. And it's really just a waste of time for the most part. It's kind of just going through the motions. A lot of that was kind of trimmed down under Davey Martinez. And he's telling guys, get your work in, do whatever you need to do, and then go home. And during that time when they're getting their work in, they're playing music on the backfields. They're a different player gets to choose the music that's being played each day. It's little things like that that keep a vibe light, that keep guys having fun. And so they're making sure, again, that they're doing what they need to, but it's being done in a fun, light way that keeps players positive. And that word positivity is something that Davey Martinez really believes in and wants to reinforce in his team. Staying upbeat, staying positive, being happy, and just enjoying the work. And he feels like that's something that he picked up in his time around Joe Maddon, and he's instituting it here, and his players seem to really enjoy it.
Now, that's not a direct contrast to Dusty, per se. I mean, Dusty was a pretty upbeat guy, right? Wouldn't you say, or no?
He was. No, Davey and Dusty, I'm going to mix up their names so many times this year, especially because there's already been a Davey as the manager. But they're both lighthearted, warm people. But I think Davey has a little bit more just kind of liveliness to things. And there's mm-hmm. just a little bit more of a spark around there. And it's not to say that guys weren't enjoying their time under Dusty, but Davey just brings, you know, he's a little younger. He can relate to these guys a little more. And I think that, you know, holds some weight with them. And I think they really have, you know, it's only been a few weeks now, but I think they really have enjoyed what he's brought to the table, at least in spring training.
All right, so give us the latest, your best guess, what they're sort of whispering behind the scenes on the injury front with the two most prominent guys, looking for the return of Adam Eaton, and then, of course, the microfracture surgery for Daniel Murphy.
Well, with both of them, and this is something that Mike Rizzo has said throughout the entire offseason, is, and I believe both players have said this too, you know, opening day would be fantastic, and both of them still have their eyes set on opening day. But, you know, opening day in the grand scheme of things and the two of them being ready for game number one, really not super important. As long as they're, you know, making good progress and coming along in their recovery. So you don't want to push a guy, make sure that he's there for game one, and then come game seven, he's back on the DL and out for, you know, a month and a half. So both guys are coming along. The Nationals are really trying to slow Adam Eaton down because he's a, you know, go, go, go type of guy. He really wants to be back in there after missing so much time last year. But they're kind of putting the reins on him a little bit and making sure that he progresses slowly. And Daniel Murphy is, I think he fully understands how complex and significant his procedure was, the microfracture procedure, and he is kind of putting the reins on himself a little bit. So I think both guys are still very much targeting opening day. They expect that to be what happens with both Daniel Murphy and Adam Eaton. But again, I don't think they're going to push things and make sure that they're there by opening day and then risk some type of setback that could cost them legitimate time once the season starts.
And you don't have to push Murphy when you have Howie Kendrick. Because that's a guy, that's a luxury to have when you have Kendrick, who played really well for them last year. And what, he played 50 games or so and hit almost 300. So if he can sit in there for a few weeks or, you know, whatever, a month until Murph's ready, then, you know, that's perfect for them. That's, aren't many guys that are as good at the backup position right there than Howie Kendrick.
And then you got Wilmer Defoe as well, who played really well in his first, you know, full season as a big leaguer, and he looks absolutely jacked. So does Howie. They both look huge and ready to go. They've come a long way. And then you've got Brian Goodwin, who, you know, if Adam Eaton needs a couple days off to begin the season as he works his way back, or, you know, they just kind of ease him into action, Brian Goodwin showed he can be one heck of a fourth outfielder.
Absolutely.
Last year.
Yep.
So the depth that this Nationals team does have really kind of reinforces that they can take things slowly with both Murphy and Eaton.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned him. I was going to ask you about Goodwin. He had the injury late last year. You say he looks good. What are the prospects for him in terms of making the opening day roster? Do you think that's a possibility? And then talk about Robles. Talk about Goodwin and Robles, because it is a position of depth, the outfield position this year with those two guys.
Yeah, it very much is. And that's why the Nationals got so many questions on not just Robles, not just Juan Soto, but other outfielders throughout the offseason when they were talking trades with various teams. This is a significant position of depth for this Nationals organization. I would say that Brian Goodwin has the leg up for the fourth outfielder spot just because he's experienced. He's shown he can handle really any position in the outfield whenever someone needs to take a day off. And the Nationals want Victor Robles playing every day, and that's not going to happen at the major league level unless there's an injury of some kind. So if everyone is healthy, if Eaton's ready to go to begin the season, I think what you see is Victor Robles playing every day at Triple-A and Brian Goodwin slotted in as the fourth outfielder where he can, you know, help any of those guys, give them a breath on a given day. And You let Victor Robles figure it out. He came a long way last year, and Mike Rizzo still wants to see progression and development from him. He's still very young, So you put him out there at Syracuse, you let him continue to learn the ropes, and then whenever you need him, whether it's June, whether it's August, whether it's, you know, the postseason, like he was last year, you give him a shot, and we're going to watch this kid go.
One of the better stories of last year, I thought, was just the sort of, I don't know, the return or whatever of Michael A. Taylor, right? The resurgence of him, and wow, this is what this kid can do. We all hoped he could do. Have we seen enough that we can now take a deep breath and say, okay, he's going to do this for us every year, or do we still need to see a little more?
Well, there were a few times prior to last year where Michael was given an opportunity and just didn't really capitalize on it the way that he would probably hope that
right.
he did. Last year came out in a big way, and it really was his coming out party, both you know, within this Nationals club and around the league. People really took notice of what Michael did, and he's had that ability for so long. People knew what he was capable of, and he showed it. I think, you know, he feels very confident that he can put up a year that he did last year, if not improve upon that. Now, will that happen? We'll have to see. You know, the thing about a guy who explodes in one season the way that Michael did is you kind of do need to sit back and watch and see if he can put it up again. But the Nationals truly believe that last year was the Michael A. Taylor that they're going to get going forward, and that really has been there all along. And I think one thing that I talked to a couple people about last year that really stuck with me is, you know, we're used to seeing top prospects come up and make an impact right away.
Mm-hmm.
With all the hype on top 100 prospects, and, you know, we know about these guys from the day they're drafted, we all expect these young players to immediately get it. And that's not how it works with everyone. Everyone progresses on a different time frame. And it takes some of these guys a few years to really figure it out and to settle into who they are and what works for them. And on the biggest stage with the most talented players in the world, have some success. And with Michael, it took a few years, but he really did have an enormous 2017, carried it into the postseason, which I think was big for him,
yeah.
and for people to see that, you know, the stage wasn't too big for him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a big 2018. I think he believes the same, and so do his bosses and his new manager.
I was telling the boys, I was getting all excited reading Boz's article about Kevin Long and the new hitting coach that they brought over. I don't know if it was he most recently with the Mets.
Yeah.
I think he was. You're
getting all steamed
formerly
up for him.
With the Yankees, and just his approach and how Bryce is excited for him, and sort of his, I guess, his sort of dedication to analytics as a hitting coach. And I don't know. This could be like a real significant thing here sort of in the background.
He could end up being, and I believe this was the premise of Boz's column. I didn't have a chance to read it, but he could end up being one of the biggest free agent acquisitions the Nationals made this winter, Kevin Long.
He's that good.
He's been. I've heard players rave about him for years now, and it's not just Daniel Murphy. Back to when he was with the Mets and prior to that, the Yankees. Just his ability to relate to players. Everyone loves him as a person. I remember talking to Joe Dillon, the Nationals now assistant hitting coach at Winterfest, and he said if you spend a minute with Kevin Long talking to him and come out of that conversation and don't love the guy, there's something wrong with you. So his just people skills, his way of interacting with the people that he's around, and then his ability to take the immense knowledge that he has about hitting and turn it into relatable tips that his players can adapt and use to their advantage. And obviously Daniel Murphy is the prime example of how he took a good hitter, you know, a guy who hit for average, who slapped the ball the other way, who was a bit of a pesky hitter, to a guy who was looking to pull everything, put the ball in the air and hit, you know, 30 home runs a season and became an MVP candidate in Daniel Murphy. So it's that ability to flip a switch on a guy and give him a couple tips that, you know, maybe he hasn't thought about the game in that way before that can really make a big difference. And Kevin Long has already targeted Matt Wieters as someone who he thinks can really benefit from what he's bringing to the table, not in a selfish way, but he's seen some early work with Matt Wieters that he thinks Wieters could be in line for a big bounce back year. And there's other guys as well. It'll be interesting to see what he does with Trey Turner, who has, you know, a good amount of sneaky pop. So, that'll definitely be a storyline to follow throughout the 2018 season, not just how these hitters are performing individually on the field, but how what Kevin Long has brought to them is helping them reach whatever levels they are.
Dan, we failed to congratulate you for winning the Daytona 500.
Props.
Yeah.
Your doppelganger.
Thank you.
Brought it home.
That was very exciting for me. I put in a lot of work this offseason. People think that once baseball ends, you know, I'm just laying around doing nothing. No, I was on the track, man. I was working hard.
Those drives are athletes too, man. Don't let them tell you differently.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, Austin Dillon, I'd never really, I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but people had been telling me for a year or two that I looked like him, and I saw an image after he won the Daytona 500, and I was like, yeah, I got to see it now. I got to see it.
Well, congrats, brother.
All right, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate your guys' support this whole time.
Of course. He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. We just tweeted.
We'll see you soon. Thank you, buddy.
A side-by-side of the two, and they do look very similar.
Later,
bro. Go to @JunksRadio if you put them both with the beard, because Dan sometimes doesn't have the beard.
Yeah.
I think when Austin Dillon won the Daytona 500, he had the beard.
Sure.
They look very similar.
Now, his beard isn't Sean Kelly-level beard, but it's he's got a long way to go to catch.
Nice and groomed.
What
like
is Kelly Grant. Doing with his beard this year?
He's trying to make it look like Jason Wirtz.
Oh, it is that bad?
Oh, yeah, it's big. It
looks
big
like
one.
A wolf man.
Yeah, he's doing it big.
Real big.
I like it. I don't have a problem with it.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What a finish from that Carolina-Miami game last night. Mm. Unbelievable. I don't know if you saw it, but Miami hit a half quarter at the buzzer to win. Hey, Cakes, you know, I was actually offered a ticket tonight to go see the Wizards and the Warriors.
Nice. So one ticket or multiple tickets so you could bring somebody?
No, just one ticket.
Meet a buddy or something?
Mm. Yeah.
You going to go with Mooney?
Yeah, I don't know that I would ever do that.
I was thinking about
it. Rarely. You would never do that.
Rarely. Like if my brother.
It's great seats,
maybe
do
my
it.
Brother called me and said, hey, I've got a spare ticket, I would do it. But just for a random doc,
I was thinking
one
about,
ticket.
Well, no, it could be a buddy.
Now, you know me. Yeah. It's an 8
you
o'clock
really
game,
have
correct?
Buddies, though.
Yeah, I really don't.
Is that 8 o'clock game or
yes.
7? 8 o'clock game.
Too late.
I was thinking about, because my buddy just opened a new restaurant, Circa, down there in Chinatown.
Okay.
I was thinking about going down to Circa and getting some dinner, some drinks.
Are you going to do it or not?
Here's your move.
I'm pondering.
Call our guy Dave.
You're christening.
And see if you can stay at Homewood Suites.
Ooh.
Then all of a sudden.
That might be the move.
You have a serious. You can have
I've
yourself
done
a
that.
Night.
Well, I have done that
You
move.
Could have yourself a night.
Well, I'm pretty sure he would hook me with a room.
Probably would.
Well, that's the move. You go to the game will be over by 10:30.
And you go to the big stick for a nightcap like I did.
No, I would go right to bed. I couldn't do
it. Jason, you'll actually get more sleep. Because you'll get here at 11, and you can wake up at like 5:15 versus your typical 4 a.m.
No, but I wouldn't. If I wasn't going to the game, I probably wouldn't watch any of the game.
Brilliant!
Yeah, but it's Golden State.
I know, but
Wizards.
I mean,
you're going to have cocktails. You don't care about the game that much.
I know, man. It would be good. Have a great dinner at Circa and then go over there.
Sure.
I don't know, man. Should I do it?
What's the downside?
Yes.
The downside is I'll be out until 11 o'clock.
Okay, whatever.
Game will be over by 10:30.
Sack up. You mean... You want to live your whole life going to bed at 7:30 p.m.?
I get tired, dude.
The game will be over by 10:30. You can Uber and be in your bed at Homewood Suites at 11.
You don't get tired when you're out with your boys, like hanging, drinking. You don't get tired.
No. I get tired when I'm home. That's why I don't.
Oh, so then the next day
you'll by the way, out. You could leave the game early.
I probably
leave
would.
At 10.
Yeah, you can definitely leave early.
You leave at 10, you're at Homewood Suites at 10:15.
The last time I went to a Wizards game was with Mooney. And we went to the Cavs game last year when LeBron hit the
Don't bring that back.
He hit the shot from the bench.
I know, and he banked it off the backboard, and it was butt lucky.
Did that win it or send it overtime?
I think
that sent it overtime.
I think it sent it to overtime, and then the Cavs, of course, won in overtime.
But I went to bed because I went to my car because the Wizards were up, I think, by 5 or 6 late. And I said, this game's over. I don't want to deal with the traffic out of the garage. Yeah. So I left. And as I'm walking down F Street is when he hit the shot.
Right, of course.
And people are going nuts. They're going crazy, yeah. Screaming all over F Street.
You left a game in which he scored 57.
He had 57 in the game.
Speaking of not staying out late, I know we're completely bum-rushing the EP, but we got more time.
This is intense.
I know. This is what's supposed to happen. So I'm going to see Jim Gaffigan at MGM National Harbor
this
weekend because he's entertaining. This is entertainment-related.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to the show on Sunday at 6 p.m. Now, that presents a conundrum for me time-wise. Because
why don't you do the Saturday or Friday?
He's playing Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
I told my man Johnny Grooms, the poker room director, I would love Saturday, the early show Saturday, not the late show. Let's not get crazy.
But he, and get a room there.
He countered with Sunday. I guess there was a limited availability. Yeah. I mean, it's a hard ticket to get. It's a 6 p.m. show. So then I have to figure out, all right, am I going to do dinner like afterwards? Show starts at 6. Show could be like an hour and 15. Then dinner wouldn't be till 7:30.
No, or dinner would be around 8:30.
No. Dinner for Flakes and Amy is going to be at 4:30.
Oh, my
God. At Fish by Jose Andres. It looks like an amazing spot.
Believe the humanitarian of the year.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward.
How about I've been to Fish?
I'm sure it's great. Here's the best part. It's going to be like a private dining room. Because nobody will be in there at 4:30.
You're right.
We're going to have the whole restaurant to ourselves.
You're right.
I think it's going to work out perfectly.
I thought I ate dinner early.
So it's the earliest dinner ever. And
spending the night at MGM National Harbor?
No, Sunday. I have to work.
Yeah, but you could drive in.
They'd drive in the morning.
They'd want to go separate. They'd have to go in two cars.
Not spending the night. That's why I'm doing the early dinner.
She could drop them off, but it's a whole thing. Then how's he going to get home?
If I was doing the spend the night, I would, of course, do the later dinner. Not spending the night.
You know what time I had dinner last night? I had dinner at 5:15 last night. I made
that up
because Blue Apron's delivering meals.
I don't have a problem with that. I think that's appropriate dinner time.
I made ginger chicken burgers last night.
Right.
I made them pretty damn good. My daughter came in after softball and said, "What is that?" Yeah. She went right to Chipotle.
You're kidding.
I was a little bit salty. I spent a good 45 minutes making dinner. And she comes in and just scoffs at it.
But I
had dinner
chicken
at 5:15.
And what time? Be honest. I don't want you to fib at all. Don't try
hamburger.
What time were you under the covers?
8, but I didn't fall asleep because I watched the Carolina-Miami game.
How you do
which
it,
didn't
man.
Start until after that.
I guess you just like to watch TV in bed. It's kind of your bit.
Yeah, because my dog comes up and hops into bed with me.
Do you prop up pillows?
Yeah, it kind of hurts my neck a little bit. Get a crick in the neck.
You get a crick at a weird angle.
But that's my bonding time with my dog. My dog and I just sit there and watch TV.
Right. What about your bonding time with tea?
She bonds with herself downstairs.
I bet she does.
I don't know what kind of bonding she does down there.
Who knows?
She comes
know?
Up late.
How would you watch?
She down in the basement?
Yet? No, she's just down in the living room.
Yeah.
Off the kitchen. Yeah.
Where are the girls?
They're usually fighting about something.
Fighting over clothes?
Yeah, arguing about hitting, slapping each other.
Is your one daughter still obsessed
with
One Direction? Yeah. Or since they broke up?
More Harry Styles than 1D.
Oh, it's Harry Styles. Yeah. Okay.
She wants to see Harry Styles. He's coming to a concert here in like June or July.
What do you do when the girls are hitting each other? You can't really have that.
I close my door and drink.
You can't really allow the girls to hit each other.
No, because I get bitter. I mean, I get pissed and raise my voice. So then my wife gets bitter at me because I'm raising
into a debacle.
So then it's 3-against-1, and I just say I'm out.
Then you just have to go to bone.
So you just let them hit each other.
I mean,
you can't allow them to be hitting each other.
I know, but
that's where I would draw the line.
But they do. They slap each other. They don't hit close fists. They slap each other.
I mean, you love your family.
They slap each other.
You love your daughters.
They're sisters.
More than anything else. But of all the junkies who really needed at least one son, it'd be Jason.
Because
it's just so much estrogen in the house.
There's a lot of estrogen.
He's such a sports guy. Like to not have that son.
They love sports.
There's four people with estrogen.
Yeah,
including me.
let me ask you something though. Will your girls watch like a football game with you? Or
yeah.
They will do that.
Yeah, but since they you know how it is with sports. They spend so much time at the fields that they come home and after they shower and have dinner, it's 10 o'clock, and they study until midnight. They probably don't get to bed till midnight. It's crazy.
I feel bad watching my daughter do homework like every night.
Every night they do homework.
She's struggling with math, and I said, "Well, it's called a tutor because I can't help you with whatever math."
I legit
struggling
can't help.
With.
My 8-year old.
I can help with English. Yeah. Like if she's writing a paper, I can hook it up from time to time. But math, no, can't do it.
I asked my kid who's in fifth grade, "What are you doing now?" And he goes, "Derivatives."
Yeah. Do you remember what derivatives are?
Not really. I mean, I might recognize it when I see it.
No
I
idea what derivatives
it.
I still think
it's derivatives like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16.
When I heard she was struggling with math, I said, "We're calling Larry." What's Larry's number? Because I'm calling him. We were setting up an appointment. Larry the tutor. Yeah. Silly.
But yes, Bick, they will slap each other, and that's when I close the door and watch games and bet it all and have a cocktail.
I think my girls, they fight a lot. But they're a different age. So it's much, you know, like 15 and 8.
It's a
big spread, but they will kick each other and, you know, that kind of thing.
But you make a good point. I wouldn't have to deal with any of that tonight if I went to the Warriors Wizards.
It's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
You're not going to go.
You're not going.
I at 9:33 a.m. I'm going.
But then you're going to change your mind.
What about
later?
At 4:33 p.m.? Where are the seats?
Mooney seat, second row. Wood.
You definitely should go.
It's all Tiger Woods.
Just go enjoy. Why don't you live a little? God, you're such a hermit.
I wouldn't go because there's going to be a billion Golden State fans. I wouldn't be sized. Not going. Wouldn't go.
Of all the people like on the show that would be, like, I would have bet a lot of money you weren't the hermit. But you are.
Kind of.
Yeah.
If I lived closer to town, I would probably be at more games.
Yeah,
but it's a pain in the ass to get from Ashburn to D.C. Yeah,
but again, once you're in D.C., you spend the night in D.C.
I know, I get
Homewood Suites is awesome.
I know.
Spend the night there. Cakes did it a few weeks ago.
Valdez, I'm going to give a couple minutes of stories here before. I'm going to do the Ryan Seacrest story before we go to break. It doesn't matter. We're going to wait till 38. The Ryan Seacrest thing is growing legs here. Of course, he's been accused
of... A lot of details.
Yeah, he's been accused of sexual harassment, and I'm very torn on it because they did an independent investigation. The E hired outside counsel, whatever. They found no evidence to support the claims.
Is it from the makeup lady?
It's some sort of stylist or something. And it's from like 7 or 8 years ago. But the biggest one is she doesn't claim that they dated or that they even had sex, but that he was in his underwear and he was, you know, he was sized.
Just inappropriate.
He hugged her and like, stuff like that. And then at one point, I think she says he groped her private area.
Yeah. Made a move.
So who knows? He claims it's completely not true. And he also claims that she's been asking for money. And so then, you know, anytime you throw that out there, it makes you kind of raise your eyebrows. Here's his quote. Yesterday, Variety published a salacious story that revealed specific claims against me for the first time, even though an independent third-party investigator found insufficient evidence to support the claims. Much to my dismay, Variety didn't speak with me or bother to speak with other credible witnesses or even ask for any of the evidence that was obtained during the investigation when offered. This person who has accused me of horrible things tried to buy her silence by asking for money on multiple occasions. I refused. I've worked extremely hard to achieve my success. I don't take opportunities for granted. I don't want to accuse anyone of not telling the truth, but in this case, I have no choice but to, again, deny the claims and remind people that I was recused of any wrongdoing and put the matter to rest.
Kind of on his side here.
I mean,
the sound of it.
If you're asking for money to shut up,
that
does put things in question. Now, here's the other sort of side part of this. Because of Hollywood and the way celebrities are, apparently everyone's freaking out, especially at E, because they haven't pulled him from the red carpet duties for the Oscars, and they don't know how are the celebrities, particularly the ones that are very active in the Me Too movement, how are they going to react to him on the red carpet? By the same token, publicists don't want to put their clients in a position of being interviewed by Seacrest if they've been involved in the Me Too movement and set up a potential awkward exchange, or even if they ignore it, then they could accuse their client of ignoring Seacrest. You know what I mean? It's just a big cluster for everyone. But so far, he's still going to work the red carpet. Weird.
And do awkward, awful interviews.
They're all awful.
That you watch.
Do they even need that down on my carpet?
But you know where the reason I watch is because they're so awkward.
You want the weirdness.
Yeah.
You want the weird feelings. Yeah.
Now, he's not as bad as some of the other people. I can't remember who the female co-host is.
Juliana Rancic.
Yeah, she's bad.
Yeah, we've had her on the show. Very sweet girl.
No,
on
she's
the show.
Sweet. It's just
she's a terp.
They talk about nothing.
She a terp?
Believe she's a terp.
Is she a terp?
She's a fellow alum.
Right, we actually have some other
good
stuff
here. She just asked what people are wearing.
Yeah,
come on, no one cares.
I'm just going to give you a quick tease because I want to do these when we come back. The very funny story about Amy Schumer's her wedding vows, what she promised to keep doing after she gets married. A lot of guys will be interested in that. There's a Shark Tank story that you're going to want to hear.
Good one.
And I'm going to tell you the number one reason why contestants have been eliminated from The Bachelor. All right, don't go anywhere. Now, these are so pushy with that.
Well, I do want to give a quick shout out
really, really
to
pushy.
Lido Pizza. We all love Lido Pizza.
I went
there the other night in Trevil, and I had my gift card. But one of the guys there is a big listener, and before I even whipped out the gift card, he came over, and he's like, JP, good to see you again. Let me hook you up. I had, like, a discounted bill, and I didn't even know what to do. They whip out the gift card when he, like, hooks you.
We're just spoiled.
It's ridiculous.
That's all there is to it.
And the pizza's so good over at Lido, so thank you very much. Lido Pizza.
All right, couple quick stories here. This one's hilarious. How would you react to this, Jason? In Arizona, a woman had just made a $1.8 million offer on a four-bedroom, 4,100-square-foot home. So, about 1,000 square feet smaller than yours. spread across a 1.3-acre lot until she
pulled out of the deal,
discovering it's passed in the porn industry.
Oh, porn house?
Apparently, the property had been utilized as the set of, ready for this, Cakes? Wifey's World, a porn site founded in 1998 and operated, I got to find these people, Kevin and Sandra Otterson were the owners of the home. And
they pulled out.
They didn't. The woman, Linda Fine, pulled out of her deal.
By the way, it sounds like $1.8 million offer. That home better have like a lot of like 24-karat gold trimming all over the place. It sounds kind of pricey.
So the question is, would you pull out of a deal if you found out?
She says,
I would say no.
She says, I just can't make Thanksgiving dinner on counters where a porn star has been lounging around.
Well,
you can change the counters.
Switch them out, yeah.
Just swap out the key. You got to get some new granite.
Correct.
I assume you would change some things. I don't know that I would change out the counters.
How about you know what you buy?
Clean it.
You buy some Lysol wipes.
I might change them out.
Buy some Lysol wipes.
Yeah,
$2
Lysol wipes are good.
It wouldn't hurt to redo the kitchen.
I'm sorry, how long ago was it used as the porn
house? Who knows
house?
For how long. It was registered and founded in 1998. Wifey's World. Can you do some research over there?
No, Drab is a huge Wifey's World fan.
Oh, you're all about it? You know
well, I know all about her. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan.
Whoa.
Well, because this is in Scottsdale, and I remember when I lived there, when she bought the house, that it was all over the news because people were freaking out.
Right.
And I've kept tabs on her through the years.
Yeah, I bet you have.
I would not buy that house. I would walk away.
Why?
Well, you couldn't buy that house.
Because all she's done for the all she's done for the last 15 years is invite men over that are not her husband, and they
unless you're buying a new property. Okay, unless you're buying a new property, any home that you're buying, I'm assuming, has had sexual activity in before.
Not like this.
Yeah, that it's running rampant in that house.
The guys are doing a lot of decorating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
decorating with ropes.
You know what's so funny?
A lot of painting.
It's a lot of rope decorating cakes.
So many.
You know what's
those.
Sick? Is I've seen this chick before.
Yeah, of course.
She's not even that attractive.
She was back in the day.
I mean, maybe she had her day.
You got big knockers.
I mean, the knockers are too big.
No likey wifey.
I mean, they're gross. I mean, get out of here.
She gets sized to mix it up.
Apparently
with men who are not her husband.
Right.
So Evie gets sized.
So the girl pulled her off or she's not moving into it. She's not buying
it. 1.8 milli, and then she goes and she Google images, Wifey's World, and you can never live there. I mean, you see all of the images of, her house.
Hey, what if you found out though your Kensington
all over the
what
wall?
If you found out EB though now postmortem that your Kensington home had been the site of 100 videos Porno Dan lived there before you lived there.
Right. I mean, what am I going to do? I've lived there for 15 years now. I mean
it's just a different time.
13 years I've lived there.
Is Porno Dan still in the biz?
I'm not.
Every house you buy is, unless you're the first owner, has kind of been used as a porn house.
Well, not like this.
Lesser extent.
Not like this. Lesser extent, but. I mean, the bedroom that you're in People are getting banged out in that room.
Right, except for your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm saying before that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's every house.
Unless you're buying
house,
a new property.
Every house has history.
Right.
Well, every hotel
yeah,
room
does.
But it's
not documented online. It's not famous for it.
I'd rather move into a porn house than a house where somebody died in the house. That was
a murder house?
Well, certainly
died,
a murder house.
Not a murder. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, murder house is completely out of bounds.
Nah,
but like if you die of natural causes, I can live with that.
Nice house.
Dude. What if it was a silly that you really wanted?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Like on the water.
I don't believe in ghosts.
I've told you this story before.
If the price is right, I might consider it.
Yeah, you would.
My house wasn't homicide or anything, but the reason why my house became available is because the older gentleman that lived there went out to get the newspaper and he slipped and fell on the ice.
And hit his head.
Had his head and donked off.
Right, so now you honor him by shooting hoops over his head.
That's right.
I do.
Yeah.
I should have laid his ashes over there where I rained threes.
Long ashes to you. Now watch me stroke this jumper.
No, I mean, obviously, it's a horrible story.
Of course it is.
Amy Schumer recently married Chris Fisher, someone she knew for all of 3 weeks before they decided to walk down the aisle.
Can't imagine that's going to last.
I'm not sure if this is her first marriage or not, but she apparently was bragging about her wedding vows, one of them being she promised to continue basically hanging out with Jeff Smoker, even though she
says,
everybody tells me I won't.
Right.
And, you know, I do have one friend.
So she's literally, she married the guy after 3 weeks.
Yes.
Wow.
I do have one friend who's been married a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me the last time his wife hung out with Jeff Smoker was wedding night.
Really?
What?
How about this?
Hold on, I think I
know who you're talking about.
They're still together. They're still married.
Yes. Happy.
Now.
On some scales.
Well, that tells me that.
That was the last time. That phenomenon exists.
Switch.
That is a bait and switch, though. I think you go to the judge and you could get
Better Business Bureau. You should be able to get an annulment.
You should be able to get some sort of annulment.
Tells me that
recusal on that one.
He's hanging out with Jeff Smoker with somebody else.
I don't believe so.
No.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you that's not the case.
He's not that type of person.
Yeah, I'm telling you he's not the case.
Hmm.
It's a show that happens.
So BJ Sarnoff was invited to his wedding. And since
to the
then, he
night.
Hasn't
he
seen
out.
His good old friend,
BJ
Searle.
Hasn't been allowed in the house.
Long-lost relative they met, like, once right. or twice.
That is a shocking revelation.
I mean, is that unbelievable? That right there. That's
This person has to say something.
I'm calling shenanigans. I think he's hung out with BJ Searle since then.
I put it partly on him. He has to say something to her.
I think he has, but I think he gave up.
What are you going to do?
He gave up.
If your partner's not down, it is a bait and switch, though. It's 100% a bait and switch.
He gave up after a couple years.
So he went to his wife and said,
like, this is ridiculous?
Yeah. I mean, come on now.
He says it's not worth getting divorced over.
And
then his wife said, I'm not doing that. That's hurting.
I don't know what the response was.
I think the response is, I'm not really in the mood.
Just not
all the time.
For X amount of years?
Well, no, he doesn't ask anymore.
Yeah. That's a battle he's completely lost.
Well, yeah.
That's wow. why, fellas, you got to keep asking. You can't if you quit asking. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm full on suspicious.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you,
I think he's hung out with like BJ Searle at a bar somewhere.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Or like,
I'm just guessing. Yeah.
I mean.
Once we tell you who it is off air, you'll know.
Oh, I know who I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I'm about 99%.
Do I know
sure.
this person, or is it just you guys?
I'll tell you during the break. Okay. There's no need to.
Yeah, we can't bring it up.
Yeah.
It's too private.
I don't know if they were teammates, but he hung out with Howard Johnson. He was a baseball player, too.
Yeah, I mean, is Howard Johnson allowed or no? Can you throw a guy a bone once in a while?
Do you think a grown-ass man cares about that? If it like almost
sort of the rotation,
Howard Johnson can be kind of silly. What? Like as a?
I think a
now
precursor.
We're getting into really
I mean,
weird.
It's silly,
like,
you know,
it's a good precursor.
It's a good pregame activity.
It's a good like jumping jacks, like warm up.
Absolutely.
Okay. One jumping jack for 1 second.
I would say I like hanging out with
those jumping jacks for how long?
I can do it for a couple minutes.
Oh my God.
I agree with you, Cakes.
A couple minutes.
Yeah, but
really?
No.
Sure.
Jason, you're not allowed to discuss. You're not allowed to
You know what, though, Kicks? You and I ran marathons before. These guys are just sprinters, apparently.
Nobody knows Howard Johnson better than yourself.
Exactly.
So what's the...
It pales.
I mean, I would tend to agree with you, but... Right.
There was plenty of that going on. I can hang out with...
I know his
strengths and weaknesses better than the other manager.
You know how to pitch to him?
Yeah, I know how to pitch to him.
I think completely. I can hang. I haven't recently. Yeah, I don't know ever, but I think I could hang out with Howard Johnson
till the end.
Yeah,
to the end of the run.
Yeah,
for the Grand Slam.
No, there's one
and
way
inside
if,
the Parker.
If you had. An extra condiment. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you had some, somebody would have to throw some.
Need some pine tar on the back.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
The hose again.
I don't
think so.
Now, what? Again,
you guys are going to have an emergency room.
I don't think it's necessary.
All right, I'm done. I'm done.
Not if you coach up the other side.
Dunsky.
All right, I don't know how you could do that.
Audi.
All right. Amazon has bought recently a Shark Tank reject. For $1 billion. Ring, the video doorbell company. You guys have seen these things before.
My buddy just installed one.
Right. Was originally called DoorBot. And it was presented, pitched in front of the Shark Tank guys about 4 years ago. And they all passed on it. He wanted $700K for 10%. Mm. The only one that was remotely interested was Kevin O'Leary, but he wanted all these royalties and everything. Right. He passed on it, and now, 4 years later, he sold his company for $1 billion.
That's unbelievable.
Guy's an American hero. Clap
him
up.
How awesome is that?
I'll be on Wizards
well
Hang Time tonight on NBC Sports Washington. 7
Probably
o'clock.
Not. Probably
we'll
not.
See you tomorrow. Grandanny, next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.